global warming out now. Red FM's Big Red Bench.
With Reardon's on Washington Street. Probably the best bar in the world.
Good evening, folks. You're very welcome along to the Big Red Bench on this Sunday evening. Rory O'Hagan, Joe Harrington here with you until 7pm. Coming up tonight, we have post-match reaction from Castlehaven's defeat to Dr. Crokes in the Munster football final.
We just have to hold our hands up. We were beaten by a better team who played far superior football on the day, threw the ball around, and, you know, we just weren't good enough on the day. Dr. Crokes are better than us, simple as that.
These are special. These are definitely the best team that the Crokes have ever seen in the 125 years they've been formed. Without a doubt, these are the best.
John Fogarty of the Irish Examiner talks us through the game.
It would have been all too easy for Castlehaven to just throw their hat at it, but they didn't. And Mark Collins got a few scores at the end. And listen, the scoreline, while the scoreline, you know, it probably didn't really tell the, wasn't a true reflection of the game, it certainly looked a lot better from a Castlehaven point of view at the end of it.
We'll also get analysis of Rochchapel's defeats Kenmare from Mert Murphy.
I think the Kerry teams are more motivated to go all the way. They're not happy with winning in Kerry. They like to win in Munster as well, while some of the teams, the other counties, Cork, Tipperary, Limerick, Clare, their own championship is A1, and once they win that, they seem then to say, well, it's a bonus if we win Munster, you know?
We'll also look back on Munster's win over Glasgow last night with Barry Cullen.
I mean, Glasgow came to Thomond Park with a very good reputation as a defensive side, particularly their defence was the meanest of all the rebel teams, and you know, from that perspective, it's a satisfactory night.
We'll also talk football on the show today, looking at the FA Cup third round draw, and we'll discuss just the one game in the Premier League today as well. That's all coming to you now at 7 o'clock. Get in touch with us, tweet us at Big Red Bench. You can text us as well, 083 317 3336, giving away a pair of tickets to Spikes fighting Neptune in a fortnight's time. Details on that shortly. First though, here's Joe.
Yeah, we're going to start with Gaelic games. Castlehaven beaten in the Munster Senior Club football final today by Dr. Crokes. The final score in the park was 19 points to 12. Crossmaden Rangers won the Ulster football final, beating Kilcoo of Down by 3-9 to 1-9. And a disappointment for Rochchapel as well today, losing to Kenmare in the Junior A Football Championship semi-final that finished 2-15 to 1-8. In the Premier League, Norwich have just beaten Sunderland by 2-1 at Carra Road. The FA Cup third round draw was made earlier today. The winners of the replay between non-league Harrogate Town and Hastings will travel to Middlesbrough for the third round. The Championship side will have the home advantage there. Elsewhere, Manchester City have been drawn at home to Watford. Swansea, who beat Arsenal in the Premier League yesterday, will host the Gunners. Holders Chelsea are away to Southampton. Manchester United will travel to West Ham. In Scotland, Hibernian are through to the Scottish Cup fifth round after a 1-0 win over Edinburgh rivals Hearts, and our Rangers had a comfortable 3-0 win over Elgin, where the highlight was a fan dancing in the stands, which was bizarre. You'll have to see it yourself to believe it. And in the Women's National League, Cork City drew 2-2 with Shamrock Rovers. That put an end to a 6-game losing run for the Cork side. In rugby, Ulster have made 10 wins out of 10 in the Rabo Direct Pro 12. They beat the Scarlets by 19 points to 12 in Wales. Elsewhere in golf, Graham McDowell has a 2-shot lead over Keegan Bradley going into the final round of the World Challenge in California. McDowell won the title in 2010. He tees off later from 13 under par. And very finally, Martin Keimer claimed a 2-shot win at the Nedbank Challenge in South Africa. The German finished up on 8 under par.
Cheers, Joe. I've just put that video of the dancing Elgin fan on our Facebook page. It's bizarre, I think, is the way you'd describe it.
Like, I'm not a narc or anything, but I would shout out the word drugs. It's pretty obvious, is it?
You would think so, yeah. This woman is basically dancing on her own to imaginary music at today's game against Rangers, doing some sort of variation on the robot as well initially, which is quite good.
It's like she's trying to start a lawnmower as well, kind of with her hand or something. It's kind of
the one-armed lawnmower.
that classic dance move,
the classic dance staple, which I'm sure you'll be busting out at the Red FM Christmas party in a few weeks time. Check that out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/bigredbench. Our competition, a pair of tickets to give away for Spike's fight in a fortnight's time in Neptune Stadium. He's fighting American fighter Dennis Sharp as part of the Rebel Rising. Spoke to Spike yesterday. He's in great form, training really, really well, really, really looking forward to the fight. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him in action in Neptune Stadium, his hometown, as well. So if you want to enter the draw for a pair of tickets, all you have to do is text Rebel Rising plus your name and your full address, please, to 083 317 3336. We'll name the winners on the show at about 5 to 7 tonight, and all the entries from yesterday will join the hat as well at for today's entries, and we will draw the winner, as I said, at about 5 to 7. Dr. Crokes and the Munster Senior Football Champions to beat Castlehaven 19 points to 12 today, as Joe mentioned. The Kerry Champions flying out of the block, 4 points up as well after 10 minutes. It was 11-4 at half time in favour of the Kerry side. Crokes push on in the second half. Sean Hurley got a red card as well for a second yellow that effectively killed Castlehaven's chances of turning it around. Final score 19 points to 12. Aidan was down at Parkyquay Forest today. He spoke to Castlehaven selector John Cleary.
John, didn't work out for you today?
No, look, we just have to hold our hands up. We were beaten by a better team who played far superior football on the day, threw the ball around, and you know, we just weren't good enough on the day. Dr. Crokes are better than us, simple as that.
Seemed to be a very slow start, Fee. I think it took 9 minutes until you got your first point on the board.
Yeah, but I suppose you have to credit Dr. Crokes for that. They tore into us and they played, you know, they played ball, sprayed ball around, and you know, Looney, the Gooch there, Kieran O'Leary, Doolin, every one of them was on top of their game, Dahi Casey, and we just couldn't hold, and midfield, and they got a bit of a sway there, and we just trying to keep our finger in the gap. We were there, and look, there are some days when a team is better than you, we just hold our hands up and say, look, they played the class football, we couldn't get to the pitch of the game, but we were beaten by a better team on the day.
Yeah, as you say, John, class all over the pitch for Crokes today.
Without a doubt, and they played that way as well. It was just one of those days, I think, that everything went right for them, and you know, maybe some small things went wrong for us, but look, that's only clutching at straws. You know, they played all the football when it needed to be played, and you know, in fairness, our lads kept going to the end, and we got scores there, and we fired right to the end, which we're proud of the lads for doing. But on the day, like, Crokes were a better team, played better football, and we just didn't have any answer to it.
Just the 4 points registered in the first half, you were 7 points down. Did you try and change it tactically for the second half?
Well, I suppose what we said at half time, we'll give it one go, you know what I mean, and but the biggest problem in the first half, we couldn't get our hands on the ball, and you know, they had that bit of class around the field, and when they did get their hands on it, they made use of it. And a few times, in fairness, we thought we maybe should have 3 or 4 more scores in the first half. We missed a couple of frees and missed a couple of shots at goal as well, but that's, again, as I said, just clutching in straws a bit. We're disappointed to have lost, but you know, there are times when you just hold our hands up and say, look, we're beaten by a better team.
Some positives today: Damien Callaghan had a fine game. Mark Collins, 7 points today.
Yeah, like you know, and I thought our backs there in the end kept fighting, you know what I mean, and like, we got to the pitch of their forwards, maybe they tired a bit, or maybe they took their foot off the pedal, and you know, I think we scored 10 or 11 points as well against you know, against a good Crokes team, and I, like, we were probably playing today either the best or the second best club team in Ireland, so like, it just shows us that we have a bit to go in our development. We have a lot of younger players out there, and we'd be just hoping that they'll learn from today's experience, and someday we'll aspire to be where Crokes are now today.
I saw you out there after the game in a huddle there for a fair few minutes, looking back on, I suppose, a very, very positive season for Castlehaven.
I don't doubt it out. You know, we won the county and got to a Munster club final, and we had a lot of close battles along the way, and we were just, I suppose, we were thanking the lads for all they've given us this year, and particularly after losing last year. It was hard for us to come back, and you know, we mightn't have been at our flying buoyant best there during the year, but it was hard to come back from what we put in last year, and you know, we're delighted to have a county, and I think when we look back on it at the end of the year, you know, we'll see that it was a good year for Castlehaven.
That's Castlehaven selector John Cleary there speaking to Aidan after today's game. Crokes manager is Noel O'Leary also in conversation with Aidan.
3 in a row county championships, and we've another Munster club back to back. It's a great for the boys, and that's what it's all about. It's not about us, it's about the players. We're only lending this job on a lend at the moment to give these players to see, can we drive around a bit, and we got into the Munster final today and they won.
And of course, you're defending champions as well, so this group of players, as you say, you know, a special group of players, really.
These are special. These are one of the definitely the best team that the Crokes have ever seen in 125 years they've been formed, without a doubt. These are the best.
You got off to a great start, and you kept them scoreless for 9 minutes. You must have been happy about that.
Yeah, we said that coming up, that we never lost in Parkyquay, and we said that if we get to a good start, we can play football, and we played the ball fast and open, and Castlehaven were in trouble in ways. We said we were 4 or 5 points and they didn't know what to do, and then they came at us, they kicked a couple of scores, but look, thankfully we came out the winning in the end.
Some fantastic performances, but Kieran O'Leary we have to mention, and Brian Looney as well, you know, in the half forwards there, some fantastic scores kicked by them today.
Yeah, you know, we say when Castlehaven kicked 2 points or 1 point down the trot, we were able to come up the field. Brian O'Kane were able to come up the field. kicked the ball over the bar, or Kieran punched the ball over the bar. Brian must have kicked 4 or 5 points, and Kieran must have kicked 3 points. And that's a good turnout from the half forward line.
An injury to Owen Brass in the first half, is he okay?
Owen, we'll just assess this in the morning, we'll see what it is. We don't know yet.
He looked fairly serious. He seemed to kick the ball, he went straight down.
He's in trouble all year with his calf, but we'll assess it in the morning, and hopefully we'll have him for next Sunday, maybe the week after.
You're happy at half time?
I was very happy. We're 7 points up. We're playing very well, playing great football, playing open football, and everything was with us, and came out in the second half. We knew the Castlehaven would come at us in the second half for 15 minutes, and we stood up to that and we rolled on again.
Midfield so important in a championship final like this, and Johnny Buckley and Ambrose O'Donovan, I thought today, you know, they kind of stood out really.
Oh, they're brilliant. See, the boys have been together for the last 4 or 5 years, like, they have a great partnership, great understanding, and they helped again today, like.
And you'll have an All Ireland series to look forward to now?
Well, we've an All Ireland quarter final, so that's, we'll start with that.
You won't be getting too carried away.
Oh, seriously, if we get carried away, we could fall on our backside, and all of a sudden people are sticking knives in our back. So we'll take step by step. We go to the All Ireland quarter final over in London. Pity London couldn't come here to us. I can't understand that. That's one thing that annoys me. That I know it's the weekend away for everyone, but I think it's about time that London decided to come here. Yeah. We're not all wealthy, like. Yeah. So no, we fellas going to college Monday morning. Like, they have to go to college. All the boys over in London, they're workers. So can't they come over for the weekend and give us a break?
I suppose it makes sense, but you're looking forward to it anyway.
I said, look, it's a day out there. We'd be delighted to see the likes of the Gooch and the Owens and Keane O'Leary, these fellas, and Johnny Buckley. That's what makes football as well. Like, they'd be delighted to see them. And I suppose it's a chance to see the best footballers in Ireland play football.
That's Croke's manager Noel O'Leary there speaking to Aidan after their win over at Castlehaven. John Fogarty of the Irish Examiner watched the game today.
Absolute class from the Kerry champions, really, from start to finish.
You couldn't say any more than that, Joe, really. That's what they were. Like, 7 points is the difference in the end, but at the same time, it should have been 10 or 11. There was a couple of there was a 2 or 3 consolation scores there for Mark Collins at the end, and you know, they're a young side, Castlehaven. They'll come again, no doubt. But this was a very steep learning curve for them today. You know, Croke's, I certainly believe, were sending a message out there. They look a much better team than 12 months ago. And I say, you know, Cross McGann is in their is in the back of their minds. Brian, speaking to Brian Looney during the week, he admitted as much, and I do think it's a goal of theirs as much as they have Tyrconnell Gales in a couple of weeks' time, and then the Leinster champions in their semi-final. But they really do look like men on a mission.
Yeah, and no, I think everyone felt that Castlehaven needed a good start to have any chance, but didn't happen for them. 4 points to no score down after 10 minutes, and it was kind of the writing was on the wall from then on, nearly.
It was that ominous, absolutely, Joe. You know, as soon as Dahi Casey was, well, not as soon as, because he got the score in the first minute, but certainly when it went 3 or 4 up, you were thinking, oh, geez, the telltale signs are here again. It's something that Croaks were working on. They weren't happy with their stats last season, I should say. They weren't happy with them, and it's something that they've worked on, and they were putting the ball about with such ease, and certainly the sod, Porky Huive, is exceptional today, especially for December. That would have contributed to them. You know, they are an out and out football team, and it certainly helped the likes of Brian Looney, who contributed 7 points, which was fantastic. I think he put one ball wide, that was it. Kieran O'Leary with 3 points. These guys are, you know what I mean, they like a good dry sod, and they reveled in it. I think we all saw that.
Yeah, I suppose it looked like they had a lot of space out there anyway at the first half. Were you surprised by that, or is it just the fact that Porky Cueve is such a big pitch that they were always going to have a bit of space?
Yeah, a bit of both, I think, Joe, a bit of both. Porky Cueve will always give that bit of latitude to guys, but not only that, you saw the foot passing from Croaks in the first half. Okay, listen, they can mix it up as well, but some of the foot passing was exceptional, and they were always offering. There was always somebody overlapping, giving an option like that. So, you know what I mean? Certainly in the second half, when Sean Dineen was sent off, it just made life a lot easier for Croaks, and it wasn't as if they weren't making enough space for themselves. But certainly when that happened, you know, it really was game over.
Yeah, halftime was 11 points to 4. Was the feeling around the park that it was over at that point?
Yeah. Even halfway through the first half, you know, in the press box, there seemed to be, as I say, things looked really ominous, and Castlehaven needed a goal early in the first half. Never came. You know, Manoni, fine goalkeeper, great shot stopper, as he proved up in Quilty against Kilmurry Bricken there a month back, and you know, he wasn't called on at all, and in fairness, it was Castlehaven who were called on, and that was a great save from Fionn Fitzgerald by Hurley. But they needed a goal, but it didn't come, as we saw.
Yeah, I suppose the red card killed any hope. I suppose no complaints for that, really.
No, not really. You know what I mean? It was a high tackle, very dangerous by Sean Dineen on Colin Cooper. As much as, you know, there was a mismatch, Sean Dineen would have a good few inches on Colin Cooper, and maybe you know what I mean? Things can look awkward like that. But it was a silly thing to do, and I think he'll be feeling it tonight. Now, it's not a nice feeling to think that you know what I mean, that your sending off might have cost the team, and maybe it did in terms of, you know, they were 6 or 7 points behind at that stage, and you know what I mean, that there was still a lot. They had a great crowd there today behind them, and I think they're a very appreciative crowd. I think they realise that this is just the start of things for this young Castlehaven side, and if they keep guys together, they will do something. But just going back to the setting off, no doubt about it, he deserved his matching orders.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting that maybe Castlehaven were resorting to the dark arts of the game. Crokes really frustrated them, didn't they?
They did. There was a hell of a lot of pulling and dragging and off the ball stuff from Castlehaven, which, you know, didn't do them any good. I think they picked up three very quick yellow cards, and Matt Cahalan was taken off. He could count himself lucky to stay on the pitch, because certainly he was involved in a second off the ball incident, and you know what I mean, the writing would have been on the wall a lot earlier had he been sent off. I think he was taken off just prior to half time, but they were doing that. I think it was just that they were finding the Crokes too hot to handle, and they had to resort to such things. But again, I would say Castlehaven are a young side, and James Canty, manager, took them into a huddle after the game and basically spoke to them, and I would imagine it was a case of, you know, just remember this feeling, remember, and let's take it on, and let's go to the Cork Championship again next year.
Yeah, and I suppose it showed a bit of character as well, that they didn't completely drop their heads and they kind of kept chipping away at the scoreboard towards the end.
They did. That was the one thing, you know what I mean, I would have expected, especially when, you know what I mean, it was double scores at one stage. I was fully thinking, oh, you know what I mean, Castlehaven, what, the heads are going to drop here, and it'll be a goal, and that'll be it. Ambrose O'Donovan, of course, went very close to scoring a goal, hit the post. But no, their heads didn't drop, and that's a testament to themselves. And you know what I mean, it's something, it's a positive to take from the day. As much as, you know, Crokes possibly took their foot off the gas a little, it would have been all too easy for Castlehaven to just throw their hat at it, but they didn't. And Mark Collins got a few scores at the end, and listen, the scoreline, while the scoreline, you know, it probably didn't really tell the, wasn't a true reflection of the game, it certainly looked a lot better from a Castlehaven point of view at the end of it.
Yeah, Brian Looney picked up the man in the match for the second Munster final in a row. He was incredible today, so athletic, kicked some fantastic scores, and was he the outstanding individual for you as well today?
I was. John Payne was excellent in the full back line as well for Crokes. Jeez, anything that came his way, he snuffed it out. I think he committed one foul in the first half, but other than that, he was really good at just getting guys, just snuffing it out. Snuffing out most attacks that Castlehaven tried to put together. Kieran O'Leary had a decent game, had a couple of wides, but a decent game. Colin Cooper, you know, assisted four or five scores in the first half, I think. And, you know what I mean, he can be happy enough with his performance as well, because, you know what I mean, especially at club level, he is going to get a lot of attention. But he's bringing a lot of guys into the play, and certainly some of his foot passing was lovely. He set up, if I remember, Jamie Doolan for a really tasty score in the first half. But Looney was, listen, I've seen Crokes four or five times now over the last two or three months, and I must say that Looney is really coming into his own on a difficult day up in Quilty. He played very well, good county final, you know what I mean, good semi-final, excellent there today. Like the guy, he has been knocking on the Kerry team for quite some time, but you know what I mean, there's going to be a big call for him now, for Eamon Fitzmaurice to have a real good look at him, as much as you know, it'll have to be in the league, you would imagine, because basically the McGrath Cup will be a no-no with this Crokes team, considering, as I say, they're on a mission for all Ireland honours now.
Yeah, absolutely. Just from a Cork perspective, Could you see Mark Collins and Damien Cahillan knocking on the door of that intercounty team next year?
Oh yeah, like it was very obvious what Crokes were doing in the first half. You know, Doughty Casey was marking him, but they were keeping the ball away from Cahillan. He came more into the game, was pressing up, working around the midfield area in the second half, and the more he came into it, certainly Castlehaven looked a better side. Mark Collins is an exceptional footballer. That guy, he's only going to get better and better. You know, the condition he'll be doing now over the next couple of years will make him a real prospect for Conor Coonan. But we've known that for quite some time about Mark Collins. Mm-hmm. Cahillan, of course, will he go hurling? Will he go football? Will he go both? What he's doing at this moment is pretty impressive, playing for Castlehaven and playing hurling for Bards, which is he's a lot on his plate. There's no doubt that Cahillan has the ability to make it at intercounty level football wise, but it seems as if he's really given it a good go at hurling at the moment, and I would imagine he'll be featuring in Jamie Barry Murphy's plans come the Waterford Crystal Trophy at the start of the 2013.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does in the new year. Cross Midland won today, beat Kilcoo after a bit of a scare up there. You see a Cross Crokes final, obviously.
Well, that's what everyone wants. These things don't happen, and certainly Kevin McStay at St. Bridget's will give Cross McGinn a right go in the semi-final now, and you know what I mean, they'll want to be, you know, there's a little bit of a revenge mission for a few of those boys from an All-Ireland championship a few years ago. Then, you know what I mean, there's two decent teams. Portlaoise have been beating everyone around them with almost consummate ease. Difficult game last day out, but certainly they steamrolled in the championship, and you know what I mean, I'd probably give them the nod ahead of Ballymun Kickhams next week, as much as Ballymun have three or four of the Dublin backline: James McCarthy, Philly McMahon, Johnny Small, Alan Hubbard, all these guys who would have played for Dublin or do at the moment, and that's a nice rear guard. And Dean Rock is a lovely footballer too, and seems like he might get his goal from Jim Gavin, a proper goal with the Dublin senior footballers next year. But Portlaoise have been around the block, and certainly they would have been smarting last year from losing in the Leinster semi-final. I think the two All-Ireland semi-finals, assuming that Dr. Crokes get over their trip to London now in the All-Ireland quarter-final against Tyrconnell Gales in a couple of weeks' time, I think they're going to be two exceptional games. And you know what I mean, I think the neutral wants Dr. Crokes against Cross McGinn just to see, you know, if Joe Bolly might have to use some of his words after what he said about Cullen Cooper earlier on in the year. It's definitely one to whet the appetite, but I think the quality of club football at the moment is quite exceptional, really, and I don't think we've seen this level or this standard of club football in quite some time, and I think we have a lot to look forward to early in the new year.
Absolutely. Listen, John, a pleasure as always. Thanks so much.
No problem, Joe.
That's John Fogarty there of the Irish Examiner, speaking about Castlehaven's defeat today by Dr. Crokes in Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh today, and we'll have the reaction on that game on our Twitter page after the show. Check out twitter.com/BigRedBench. When we come back, we will be talking Rochchapel's defeat to Kenmare earlier on today, looking back on Munster's win last night over Glasgow. We'll also be discussing the Premier League action today and the FA Cup third round draw.
FM's Big Red Bench with Reardon's on Washington Street. Probably the best bar in the world.
104-106.
Cork.
Red FM. Red Drive
with Dave Mack.
Wednesday, 5th of December from 10 to 1 in Douglas Village Shopping Centre. It's the school's Christmas fair organised by South Cork Enterprise Board, and you can join me, Mac, and the Red Patrollers from 10 to 1 in Douglas Village Shopping Centre on Wednesday, 5th of December, and support your local school enterprises and get some super Christmas gifts for all the family while you're at it.
Red Drive.
Weekdays from 4.
Red Red FM's Big Red Finch.
With Reardon's on Washington Street. Probably the best bar in the world. Red FM.
Rory and Joe here with you on the bench until 7 p.m. Ashley follows us with Green on Red from 7 to 10 with all the best in Irish music. Dennis Dylan's in with Live and Loud from 10 p.m. this evening. Find us online, twitter.com/BigRedBench and facebook.com/BigRedBench as well. Details on how you can win a pair of tickets to Spikes Fight coming up shortly. First though, Joe.
Gaelic Games, Castlehaven beat by Dr. Crokes in the Munster Senior Club Football Final today. 19 points to 12 is how it finished in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. In the Ulster Football Final, Cross Madeleine beat Kilcoo of Down. That finished 3-9 to 1-9 in one of the dirtiest games of football I think I've ever watched in my life. Yeah, there was a lot of dirty digs flying in, but Cross Madeleine came through in the end. In the Junior A Football Championship semi-final in Munster, Rockchapel beaten by Kenmare. That finished 2-15 to 1-8. In cross-channel football, Norwich continued their good form. They've beaten Sunderland 2-1 at Carrow Road to pile the pressure on Martin O'Neill. FA Cup third round draw was made earlier this afternoon. I suppose it's really a big day for the smaller teams. The winners of a replay between non-league Harrogate Town and Hastings will get a trip to Middlesbrough in the third round. Elsewhere, 2011 winners Manchester City have been drawn at home to Watford. Swansea beat Arsenal in the Premier League yesterday. They'll host the Gunners in round three. Holders Chelsea are away to Southampton. Manchester United will travel to West Ham. In Scotland, Hibernian are through to the Scottish Cup fifth round after a 1-0 win over Hearts, and Rangers comfortably beat Elgin 3-0 earlier today. In the Women's National League, Cork Women's FC drew 2-2 with Shamrock Rovers in Tala. That halted their losing run of six games, and now they take on Raheny next week in Turner's Cross. In rugby, Ulster have made a 10 wins from 10 in the Rabo Direct Pro 12. Fantastic form by the Ulstermen. They beat Scarlets by 19 points to 12 in Wales this afternoon. In golf, Graham McDowell is two shots clear of Keegan Bradley going into the final round of the World Challenge in California. McDowell won the title in 2010. He'll tee off later from 13 under par. And very finally, Martin Keimer claimed a two-shot win at the Nedbank Challenge in Sun City. The German finished up on 8 under par.
Thank you, Joe. Spike O'Sullivan fights in Neptune Stadium in a fortnight's time, December 15th in Neptune Stadium. Really, really looking forward to it as he fights the American Dennis Sharp. Spiking him up to 5 in the world as well in the WBO middleweight rankings, getting closer to a challenge against Kid Chocolate. So fingers crossed Spike can win, move on towards the WBO middleweight championship title fight. Right, he's going to do start on that road against Dennis Sharp, and that is at the Rebel Rising event in Neptune Stadium. If you fancy a pair of tickets, all you have to do is text Rebel Rising plus your name and full address to 083 317 3336. Rebel Rising, your name and full address please to 083 317 3336. We'll name the winners on the show by 5 to 7 tonight. Not a great day for Rockchapel. They lost out to Kenmare and Munster Junior Football semi-final. The final score in Killarney, 2-15 to 1-8. Radio Kerry's Mert Murphy was at the game and he spoke to Joe.
Actually, going into the game, I feared Rockchapel. I thought that they would have given Kinmare a better game. In fairness, the game was over very early, despite the fact that Rockchapel came back in the second half, but they trailed 2-10 to 3 points at half time. In fact, after only 10 minutes, the scoreline was 1-6 to 2 points. Kinmare got a goal only after 2 minutes, although Rockchapel actually opened the scoring in going, he converted a free, but the Kinmare side got a goal very early, a long ball in, and it was flicked home by Mark Crowley, the centre half forward. And then you had Stephen O'Brien, who really took over. Now Stephen would be known to Cork listeners. He played last year with UCC when they beat Castlehaven in the county final, and he played Kerry under 21. So Stephen and Paul O'Connor, the other inside man, he played at number 14. He wasn't as effective today. He has 3 All-Ireland seasonal medals with Kerry, and sort of fell out of favour then. But Stephen O'Brien was very strong, and he got a goal 21 minutes in. He scored something like 1-6 in total, and really... while Kinmare were very smart, every forward scored up front for Kinmare. I think that Rockchapel really bar their centre, their full forward Jim, I think he looked a good player. They didn't have the same craft up front, Joe, as Kinmare had.
Yeah, did they freeze maybe after Kinmare got the early goal, or did nerves set in, or panic maybe?
Possibly, I think the occasion, they had a big crowd. I'd say they outnumbered the support terms, which was surprising, since it was in Killarney, which is only about 15 miles from Kinmare. I'd say 3 or 4 to 1 they outnumbered the Kenmare supporters, and they really had great support from the stand, but unfortunately on the field of play they found it difficult. I think Kenmare overall, although defensively they proved that they were porous at times, I think Shane Dalton at midfield and Jimmy Wharton, they had a very good, two very good games. Then Joe Callan was at a fair game alright for Rock Chapel, but it really was up front, the likes of Mark Crowley, Alan O'Leary, Paul O'Connor, DJ Brennan, who's a veteran at this stage, he went out to centre half hour, but really they couldn't stop Stephen O'Brien. They actually brought on a sub, they changed Philip Murphy and the cornerback and brought on Michael Duty, but it didn't work. Kenmare really had too much power for them, and I think no matter how you looked at it, Joe, I think there was a little bit of gulf in class between both sides. That's the way I looked at it. And I suppose if you look at the Cork teams recently, Kennedy I think has been the only Cork team that has beat Kildare in the championship, and if you look at this, I think it's only Carby Rangers and Kennedy that have won. Kerry have dominated both junior and intermediate youth, and beating St Vincent from Cork last week, and the Cork team again up front was the problem. Castlehaven and Dr. Croke today, from what I can hear, up front again was the problem, the difference in the forward lines. And I think again today, I think you had the flair players, particularly Stephen O'Brien and possibly Paul O'Connor as well, and really Rockchapel didn't have a player of that caliber, unfortunately for them.
Would Kenmare be highly rated down in Kerry, Mart?
They would, in a way, but they're junior and they're finding it difficult enough to climb the divisions. They have some very good footballers, but they also play a bit of hurling, and I think they have been underachievers, really, but they are rated. They beat Na Gael in the Kerry final. They had four games in Kerry, and they beat Na Gael in the Kerry final, and they made heavy weather of beating off a Division 4 side in Kerry, who didn't even get promotion this year. They were beaten by a small club called Listroy in the promotion playoff game. They finished joint second. So although Na Gael are an up and coming club, they could actually have taken Kenmare on the day. So therefore you're looking at this Kenmare team and you're saying, you know, wondering, could they have gone all the way in Munster or gone all the way in to the All-Ireland final? And looking at them, they were very impressive last weekend, a huge total up in Waterford. And again today, this is supposed to be the Munster final. Now that's not just respect to Cappa Moore from Limerick, but really they have too much up front for most teams. They are a good team, of course. I forgot to mention Rock Chapel didn't help matters when they got a man sent off 7 minutes into second half. But at that stage the game was effectively over. Kenmare only scored 5 points in the second half, and Rock Chapel came back and got a good goal from another flick. Three goals were flicked in, there were sort of high balls in and flicked in it. William Murphy, the wing forward for Rock Chapel, got the goal, but they got their full back Bat Curtin sent off 7 minutes in second half, second yellow, and then with about 7 minutes to go, Jimmy Wharton from Kenmare, second yellow. But I think it was more sort of the official was keeping a lid on things, and he might have been over officious on the day, Richard Maloney, and there was nothing untoward in the game at all. But yeah, Kenmare highly rated in Kerry, but I would think that looking at it, you know, three Kerry teams winning the, well, got to Munster final anyway in this situation, but winning the intermediate and the senior, you'd have to worry a small bit about you know, the standard of some of the teams that come out from Cork. But look, it's a different story down here. I mean, a junior down here could be an intermediate in Cork and vice versa. It's very hard to grade them in this competition, and I think the Kerry teams are more motivated to go all the way. They're not happy with winning in Kerry, they like to win in Munster as well, while some of the teams in the other counties, Cork, Tipperary, Limerick, Clare, their own championship is A1, and once they win that, they seem then to say, well, it's a bonus if we win Munster, you know.
I suppose just on Rockchapel, they did win the second half, I suppose, so that was something for the supporters to come out of there with.
It was, of course, yeah, and you know, as I said, they always kept playing ball. The sending off was unlucky, and they had some very good players, like, as I said, the full forward really caught the eye, Seamus Hickey. They played well in the second half. Didn't Joe Callan at midfield, a fine player, and their centre back Kevin Collins is pretty good, and they had Eamon O'Callan at cornerback. He did a very, very good game, and Liam Collins, who was taken off for some reason, he converted a free and kicked the point, and I thought that he looked good. But in the first half they kicked 3 points, 2 frees from Ian Guiney, and the other point came from Dinjo Canad midfield. So none of their forwards scored from play in the first half, Joe. And then in the second half, you had Daniel Curtin that's in the forward kicking 3 frees, and Liam Collins had a free. So in total, their forwards only kicked a goal from William Murphy, a point from Liam Collins, and then Dan Joe Callan had another point. So 1-2 from play is not good enough for Renault. So that's where they left it behind them. But as you say, they came out in the second half. They were brave. They had only 3 points, and they added 1-5, and they outscored Kinmare 1-5 to 5 points in the second half. But at that stage, I think, to be fair, Kinmare had gone on the defensive. They had an extra man, and they didn't use him either. So they have lots to ponder as well. But I think, as you said earlier, I think the stat that Kinmare got scoring the 1-6 to 2 points, that blitz early on, finished the game as a contest, and I think that Rock Chapel found it very hard to get back into it then, and possibly that's what happened to them. They were hit so early and so hard by the Kinmare side. If they had managed to stay with Kinmare for 15 or 20 minutes, I could have seen this develop into a right battle to the end, because, as I said, they did keep going to the end, and they always kept playing football, and they did look to have a few nice footballers, but in the finishing department, the Kerry side were superior.
Yeah, it's Mark Murphy there of Radio Kerry speaking about Kinmare's win over Rock Chapel today. 2:15 to 1:08 was how that finished earlier on today. Right, Munster getting back on track in the Rabbit Direct Pro 12 last night with a 31 points to 3 win over Glasgow. New back row CJ Stander picked up the Man of the Match award, scoring 2 tries last night. Tommy Donnell got the other try, but he was forced off with an ankle injury. He's now a doubt for the upcoming Heineken Cup games with Saracens. Harry Colin of the Irish Examiner was in Thomond Park, and he spoke to Joe.
Well, I think it's a very satisfactory performance. Any time that you win a match 31-3 in the Rabbit Direct a week before a Heineken Cup fixture, you must be kind of satisfied. I'm sure they'll look at the performance, and they'll look at the second half and say, you know, maybe that it just didn't build on it. But having said that, I mean, Glasgow came to Thomond Park with a very good reputation as a defensive side. Particularly their defence was the meanest of all the rebel teams, and you know, from that perspective, it's a satisfactory night.
Yeah, absolutely. CJ Stander's going to get all the headlines today and tomorrow. He got 2 tries in Man of the Match. Were you impressed with him?
Absolutely. I mean, he's obviously fitted in very well. He's obviously got plenty of pace. Having said that, if you look at the whole performance of the back row in general, you're looking at Tommy O'Donnell and you're looking at James Cullen. I think you can't ignore their contribution on the night. Standard's first try was as a direct result of a fantastic break from Tommy O'Donnell, and with a bit of interchange with James Cullen. His second try was top drawer stuff, wasn't it? I mean, he just pinned the ears back and took off, which shows that he's got an awful lot of pace. And if you're looking at that back row for the moment, I mean, with Peter Armani to come into it, then, you know, they're looking good.
Does Stander offer something different to the other number sevens?
It's very hard to see what else he offers, but I mean, he's a dogged customer, obviously very, very well built physically. You know, they say he was too small in South Africa, according to some sources, but no, getting into the Blue Bulls team on a regular basis doesn't suggest that he was considered too small by the coaches there. And they were obviously not very pleased to lose him. So, I mean, it's early days yet, but I mean, he can't have had a better start to his career with Munster, and certainly obviously they seem to think that he has fitted in well. You know, you've just only to see the reaction from the players, where several of them ran from deep positions in the pitch to congratulate him for that try. So I think he's going to be a very good player, and obviously it's going to take time to settle in as to whether he's going to play 6, 8 or 7.
Yeah, absolutely. Tommy O'Donnell got the other try. He also got injured. Have you heard any kind of latest news on that?
No, the latest news is that this is an ongoing problem with his ankle, and there wasn't apparently any great concern from Rob Penny. He just said, look, we're going to have to assess it Monday and we'll see how it goes. But he certainly wasn't kind of saying, well, look, he's in big trouble. So therefore, we just got to take that at face value and see and wait and see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny, I suppose, at the start of the year with all these back rows coming in, we were wondering how they were all going to play, but the rate of attrition back there in terms of injuries has been huge this season.
Well, it seems to be an area with a lot of teams, in fact, that where back row forwards are getting injured and they're going down like pins. Other teams have had the same problems, and you know Sean Dougal, of course, out now for Munster. We've just to wait and see how long he's going to be out for, but it's certainly going to be several weeks, and one would hope, obviously, that O'Donnell doesn't follow suit, and that's what Rob Penny said was actually correct, that it's an ongoing problem, a manageable problem. It didn't look good when he hobbled off, but Penny said he wouldn't take too much notice of that, because he seemed to be okay afterwards, and he was walking, you know, with a relative degree of comfort. So we just really have to wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. Last Sunday down in Musgrave Park, horrible evening, but I had the scrum. Very frustrating for them. Was that a bit better for you last night?
It was a bit better, and there did seem to be some similar problems. I mean, the referee last night from Wales was certainly pinging both sides almost every second turn, and certainly Munster weren't too pleased at some of the decisions that went against them. And then, in fact, I'm sure Glasgow wouldn't be too pleased at the fact that he gave Munster a penalty try when it seemed that maybe it was about to collapse, and you just didn't know whether it was deliberate or otherwise. So it was a kind of one of these things that really they couldn't make head nor tail of, I'm sure. But certainly BJ Botha wasn't too pleased. He was seen on a couple of occasions kind of glaring rather suspiciously at the referees, as to say, you know, come on mate, you know, leave this game develop. But yeah, I mean, in terms of where they were, and you had Dave Kilcoyne, of course, played most of the match at Loosehead, and that's another good outing for the youngsters. So I mean, yeah, I mean, I think their scrum seems to be relatively solid, and again, these things happen when you have bad underfoot conditions, as there was at Musgrave Park. It's very, very hard for anybody to make a judgment call on whether they were in trouble or whether they was just ground conditions.
Yeah, so the scrum doing okay, the back row doing well going forward. What about the back line last night, Barry? How do you feel they performed?
Well, you know, there was a lot of unforced errors again, and you know, but you can't blame them for trying things, and they certainly did have a couple of line breaks down the middle of the pitch, which they didn't have, obviously, against bar Felix Jones's one against the Scarlets, but you did have a bit more pizzazz or whatever about the midfield partnership, and they did expose Glasgow out wide a little bit more than Glasgow have been exposed out wide of late. So okay, they didn't actually score from them, but they did contribute to some of the things that were going on and some of the tries that that ultimately came their way, because I think they actually stretched Glasgow to the point that exhaustion really probably set in.
Yeah, that's what Rob Penny's been, I suppose, saying since, a few weeks ago. A lot of people were maybe saying that it was the old Munster values that got them over the line in the Heineken Cup against Edinburgh and all of that. But like you said, maybe like the expansive play is wearing teams down, and then they seem to be able to put the tries in.
Well, that's a famous way that the All Blacks will do. You know, you play for 60 minutes and you run teams as ragged as you can possibly run them ragged, and then you expect to kind of benefit in the last 20. And you know, Ireland would have done that in the recent past against teams like maybe Italy and maybe Scotland as well, less good Scottish teams. And Munster would have done it also. So yeah, it's a kind of a thing that you try and wear the opposition down. It's not saying that they wouldn't try to actually score, but they do try and play at a high tempo pace, and then hope that that the tiredness eventually takes its toll on the opposition.
Yeah, absolutely. Good win. So I suppose the tender turns to Heineken Cup now next weekend. Saracens coming to Thomond. How do you think Munster are set heading into that, Barry?
Well, I mean, you just never know, but it's a must-win situation for them. They can't afford to lose. They certainly can't afford to lose at home. They probably can't lose. They can't afford to lose the away fixture against Saracens either, given the way the pool has panned out so far. So, I mean, look, you can't but say they have had a decent build-up to it in that they've got the win. They know that it wasn't a perfect performance. They know they've got to improve. Penny has said quite explicitly that, you know, they need to improve by 20-25% next week. Then they'll just have to wait and see where that takes them.
They're keeping pretty tight-lipped on Paul O'Connell's fitness. Would you expect him, or do you expect him to line out next week?
Well, given that Paul O'Connell wasn't on the radar prior to the Rossing Metro game, then I wouldn't discount anything. But yeah, the bottom line is that prior to that match, he was on the pitch training with his colleagues. This time out, he hasn't been training. He's been doing gym work and swimming and whatever, but he hasn't actually been involved in squad sessions. And Penny last week made the point that, look, there's no point in actually playing players who are not fully fit, because it doesn't really benefit anybody. And you know, Munster have proved that there is life without Paul O'Connell. It mightn't be the same kind of life at the moment, but and obviously you'd love to have Paul O'Connell in the ranks, but you know, as I say, he doesn't seem as if he's going to be fit, and certainly he wouldn't be match fit. So whether they take a risk on that, if he did present himself fit later in the week, I don't know. But I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I suppose we all expect Conor Murray and Peter O'Mahony to come back. And other than that, would you expect any other changes?
Not really. I think Peter O'Mahony, and if you look at the back row performance, you'd say, geez, Peter would maybe have a little bit of trouble getting back in. But then again, you couldn't say that really, because he's been such a huge figure for Ireland in the last over the last few weeks. So yeah, you'd expect the two of them would certainly come back in. The interesting one probably is going to be at scrum half, as to who's going to be on the bench, as to whether it's going to be Peter Stringer or Duncan Williams. Like, both of them are vying at the moment for that second spot, and you just don't know what way Penny is going to figure on that one.
That's Barry Colin of the Irish Examiner speaking about last night's win for Munster. A good win for them as well over Glasgow. 31 points to 3 was how it finished in Thomond Park. Right, just to wrap up today's Premier League action, just the one game as well today. Norwich and Sunderland, a real super Sunday this one. Not really.
Norwich 2, Sunderland 1. So Norwich's unbeaten run goes on to 8 matches. But boy, did they have to enjoy some luck to hold on against a spirited Sunderland side in the second half. Bissong and Pilkington had given the Canaries a deserved lead before Gardner cut the deficit just before the break. After that, it was all Sunderland. They saw a shot cleared off the line. Kilgallen missed an absolute sitter. Gardner hit the post from a free kick. They got the ball in the net, but Connor Wickham, on as a substitute, was offside. They did everything but score. Norwich won't mind. It finished Norwich 2, Sunderland 1.
And this is Anthony Pilkington.
You know, right at the end of the first half, we've conceded a sloppy goal when we didn't think they were in it too much, and it's made the second half difficult. And to be fair, they've had a good goal, but we've shown how strong we are again.
Also today, the MK Dons beating AFC Wimbledon in a match that the media tried to build up as much as possible as a grudge match. Pretty tame stuff in the end. The MK Dons winning 2-1, a closely fought encounter, and the MK Dons getting the winner in added time. The MK Dons manager is Carl Robinson, and he says he's relieved the highly charged tie passed off without incident.
We want football to be the winner, but ultimately as well to get into the third round. It's still an unbelievable competition to be a part of, and the fact that we were in the hat today means the world to us.
So that is them into the third round today. Letting Orient Dolls into the third round with a 4-2 win away to Alfredson, and former Cork City striker Dave Mooney scoring twice there. The draw for the third round was made today. Not going to read out all the ties, but Joe, if you've got your eye.
Yeah, I suppose just the big Premier League clubs to see who they've got. Tottenham are at home to Coventry, Manchester City at home to Watford, Swansea host Arsenal in a repeat of yesterday's game, where Swansea beat Arsenal 2-0 at the Emirates. Chelsea travel to Southampton. Lincoln or Mansfield will host Liverpool. West Ham are at home to Manchester United, and Leeds take on Birmingham. They're the kind of standout ties.
There's no real kind of must-see tie in the third round, is there? There's no one that really grabs your attention.
No, not at all. I think maybe Swansea-Arsenal after what happened the other day, and West Ham-Manchester United after West Ham beating Chelsea. They're probably the only two that do jump out at me, but I suppose it's good to see, I mean, the likes of Barrow still in it, and Harrogate and all of these clubs, Hastings as well, you know, the giant killing the magic of the cup that we always talk about. But like you said, there's no real massive tie to look forward to, but it's all on the first week of January, so FA Cup third round time today.
We were hoping for Liverpool and Chelsea, which would have been rather fantastic.
Yeah, Rafa back to Anfield for the first time. It would have been interesting, all right. Like you said, I remember this time last year, there was so much going on. It was Suarez and Evra, Manchester United and Liverpool, Terry and Anton Ferdinand, yeah. QPR and Chelsea. But this year, I suppose it's good that there isn't that kind of off-field controversy ahead of the FA Cup third round. But like you said, nothing really jumping out at you, but... you never know, that there could be a few crackers there.
Yeah, it could be. Not much to report on between Norwich and Sunderland today. Not exactly the most super of Sundays on Sky Sports. Norwich picking up a 2-1 win, and something we've talked about a lot in recent weeks, the pressure that Martin O'Neill must be under. Rumours abounding if a week or so ago that he'd offered his resignation to the Black Cats board. That wasn't true, according to the man himself. Sunderland really, really languishing now near the end of the table. It's not looking good for them. They can't buy a win, and players don't seem up for it, not playing good football. Where's it all gone wrong?
Yeah, it was an interesting stat there today I heard earlier on. Steve Bruce was sacked because I think he had 5 wins in 27, and after today Martin O'Neill now has 4 wins in 27. So does that mean he has to get sacked? Like you said, I don't know where it's gone wrong really. I think he's made kind of good signings. I think Adam Johnson's a good player for Sunderland. I think Stephen Fletcher was a good signing. He's got the goals, but he's had no real support around him. I think James McLean was very good last year. He's been poor enough this year. And Sessegnon, he was very creative for them last year. He hasn't played at all this year, but he seems to be leaking a lot of goals as well. But do you think sack O'Neill?
Well, I mean, like, they are just a point above the relegation zone. They're a point above Southampton at the moment. They have 13 points in 14 games. It wouldn't be inconceivable to think that he could be sacked before Christmas, especially considering that their poor run of form in the league. They've got 1 win in the last 10 games thereabouts. So yeah, it wouldn't be inconceivable to see him go. Who would come in though? Who's going to turn them around? Is Martin O'Neill the right man to turn them around? There's something gone drastically wrong there.
Yeah.
For Martin O'Neill, who was lauded as one of the great managers available when he was out of work. Now he's in work and he can't do much in that Sunderland team.
Yeah, like, it just seems like he, with clubs he goes to, he gets to a point where he can take them so far. I thought, like, at Aston Villa, I think he took them as far as he could possibly have taken them, and then he left there under kind of, I suppose, difficult circumstances in terms of transfer budgets and all that. But I mean, like if you look at them, right, they're on 13 points, 1 ahead of Southampton, 2 behind Wigan, 2 behind Newcastle, and 4 behind Fulham. And like, none of the managers in those clubs are under any pressure. Do you have to take into consideration the run they've been on since last season as well, why you would maybe consider sacking him?
Yeah, because I mean, like, they were poor towards the end of the last season. He came in and he did a good job. I think it's the Martin O'Neill effect when he comes in and takes over a team. He seems to have great man management skills and gets players playing above themselves for a while. Then that disappears and you're left with the fact that Martin O'Neill's a very ordinary manager with very ordinary ideas in the game.
Yeah, and by all accounts, some people I've spoken to who would have worked for Martin O'Neill say that it's quite old-fashioned, his style of management, and
it's Brian Cloughish.
A little bit actually like Brian Clough, yeah. So I wonder, in 2012, is that actually going to work at top-flight football? But I just have to mention Norwich again, and I know we've mentioned it since they've been on this good run, but... since they lost to Liverpool 5-2 at home, they've beaten Arsenal, Stoke, Manchester United, and now Sunderland at home. It's a great run, and fair play to Chris Hughton.
Yeah, he's a guy that we met when he was over here.
He was delighted to meet us.
He was delighted to meet us as well. He always said it was his dream to meet that team bench. But a very nice guy, and delighted to see him doing well. I mean, like, he's proving to be quite a decent manager by the looks of it. I'm working on what must be a very small budget with Norwich.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, he did a great job at Newcastle when I suppose when he took over, he was kind of a caretaker manager, did so well, got them back to the Premier League, even with Burnley. Birmingham, I thought he was doing very well. And again with Norwich, he's a good manager, and he's actually a guy who I'd like to see manage Ireland one day, hopefully. But at the moment, he's on 19 points after 15 games at Norwich, and they look like they'll be okay for relegation this season.
Yeah, doing a very good job there as well, Chris Hughton. Right, that's pretty much our show. We have a pair of tickets to give away to Spike's fight in Neptune Stadium on the 15th of December. Both of us really, really looking forward to this one. We were taking entries yesterday and today, and Joe, today's winner is...
And just when I get up here, the winner is Martin Dunn, and he's from Fairhill.
Yeah, congratulations, Martin. You're heading along to Neptune Stadium. I'd see you up there. Really, really looking forward to that. Right, that's our show. Thank you for tuning away. Check us out online, twitter.com/BigRedBench, facebook.com/BigRedBench. We're back next Saturday at 6. Ashley's up next with Green on Red. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, folks.
FM's Big Red Bench. With Reardon's on Washington Street. Probably the best bar in the world.
104 to 106.
Cork's
Red FM.
Where it came from, nobody knows. Who built it, nobody knows. How it got here, nobody knows. But on Saturdays, it comes
to life.
Home of new music in Cork.
Live from Mahon Point.
With giveaways, 2020 sports, entertainment news and more.
Join Claire and the Red Patrollers. Live from the pod at Mahon Point. Saturday till 12.
Cork's number one for hit music.
Red FM.
At the Courtyard Bar Tonic Kilty, we show all major sporting events live on our two large screens. With our great atmosphere, it's as close as you can get to being there. So whether it's a special occasion or just a drink watching the match, make it the Courtyard Bar Tonic Kilty. Serious about sport.
Shh, we're looking for the bear.
Bear? You never said anything about bears. I thought we were looking at apartments.
We are. Every property for sale or rent must have a building energy rating certificate, or bear, so that anyone can tell its energy performance from A to G.
Is the bear bad?
No, the bear is good. And the better it is, the lower the bills.
Everyone has a right to see the bear. The Building Energy Rating Certificate. Always ask to see the BER. Visit the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland at seai.ie/BER.
This is Teresa Lowe. Help us to put a smile on a child's face this Christmas. Please bring a new unwrapped toy to your nearest GLS parcel shop and they'll deliver it free of charge to Bernardo's and thousands of children in Ireland. Contact GLS at gls-parcelshop.ie or free phone 1800 283029. Your gift will make a real difference.
If you haven't been to Douglas Court lately, I'm sure there's a good reason. Maybe you've been marooned on a desert island or abducted by aliens. Why else would you miss out on amazing shops like Kilkenny, Dunn's Stores, O'Brien's Wines, New Look, Vera Moda and Next, plus a brand new Costa Coffee and the Saturday Farmers Market with over 30 fabulous stalls. They certainly don't have all that on Planet Og. Well, not when I last visited.
Douglas Court Shopping Centre. You'll be spoiled for choice. Tickets go on sale this Thursday at 9 a.m. for Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band.
I want you to put your hands together on the heart-stopping legendary E Street Band.
July 18th, Harkey, Queen of Cork.